Thank you. Well, it's great to be with you this morning. It does feel a bit like coming home, to be honest. You know, Martin and I worked together for quite some years, and I still bear the scars from it. He looks pretty good on it, though, doesn't he, really? Stuart was with us as well, Stuart and Marion. And, we had a lot of fun together doing things, got into a bit of trouble together, all kinds of stuff like that. I'm just a bit torn, really, this morning, because I'm not sure which band of brothers to go to. I wear pink. Hey, how the guy that wears shoes that colour can call you camp, I do not know. Hey, you got to be able to take it as well as give it, haven't you? Hey? And then there's the Darlington group. I mean, I live in Darlington, I could go there. And I don't mind kind of faking it a bit either, Stu, really, and giving it the old rah, rah, you know, I could go to any of those. And the other thing about those being baptised, never believe statistics. We lose a lot more than 10% in Darlington. Gosh, just go under and we never see them again. We have a great big drain pipe in the bottom of the baptistry. In fact, be careful, because I think you use the same baptistry as us, don't you? Use our baptistry. What you see, when you get in, just notice on the side, it's a wooden one, and there's notches. And every notch is somebody that didn't come back up. Okay. So just keep a look out for that if you're being baptized. Okay. Well, I want to talk this morning about crossing over with Jesus. And what I am going to hopefully explain by that is something from when Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee with his disciples. I want to try and for us to learn one or two things about what it means to walk with Jesus and to go into different situations with him, what it means to cross over with him. When Jesus says, let's go somewhere, what does that mean for us? So why don't we turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, and verses 35 to 41. Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There was also other boats with them. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern of the boat, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Just before we, the previous part of the chapter, Jesus had been teaching all that day thousands of people. And he'd been teaching them with parables. And he'd had a really busy day. And so Jesus comes to the end of the day and he says to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. And the disciples, I guess, just high-fived each other and said, hey, great idea, let's get away from this mob. Let's just go with Jesus, let's cross over. You see, they'd listened to Jesus. Jesus had said, come on, guys, let's go over. So they'd listened to Jesus. It was a very simple request that Jesus made to them, wasn't it? Let's go over to the other side. They had a boat, which was pretty useful, seeing as it was across a lake. And some of them were seasoned sailors. They knew what they were doing, and they knew the direction in which they needed to travel. This should have been a simple job and a simple journey. If you like, all the ducks were lined up in a row. Yeah? You do use that expression, don't you? All the ducks lined up in a row? No? Okay, anybody dead out there yet? You've not been baptized, you shouldn't be dead this morning, you should be alive. Good, well done. So all the ducks were lined up in a row. Everything should have gone really, really smoothly. So their journey begins. Now, what I want to try and do this morning is try and sort of unpack the religiousness that we stick into the Bible. Okay, we read like these stories, and there's just a few words that explain incredible stories. And what we don't get always from the text is exactly the kind of feelings that these guys must have had. These were just ordinary human guys. They weren't super religious guys. They'd not been with Jesus very long. They knew there was something special about the guy, but they weren't totally sure, totally convinced. They didn't know that he really was the Son of God. That there was just something special about him. So their journey begins, and all seems peaceful. The disciples probably chatting to each other about the day, discussing some of the parables and all the deep theological issues that were in the parables. Or maybe they were just talking about what some weird people they had met that day. Probably more likely. And they were just wondering what was going to happen. I mean, why did Jesus really bother with all these people? Who knows? But there was a nice little breeze blowing, and the lake was nice and calm. And it was going to be a great sail across the lake. There was Jesus. He was exhausted. He was in the boat. Disciples were probably thinking, hey, this just takes us back a wee bit to when we were fishermen. Nice day, gentle breeze, guy out fishing, you know, flask of tea, sandwich, maybe a sneaky cigarette, a little drop from the hip flask, who knows. They were ordinary guys. These were fishermen, rough guys. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? Maybe they were singing a bit of Bob Marley. Don't you worry about a thing, because every little thing's going to be all right. Could be, couldn't they? But they were singing it quietly because Jesus was asleep. Obviously, didn't want to wake him. Then, almost out of nowhere, this terrific storm blows up. They stopped singing Bob Marley and started singing For Those in Peril on the Sea. Because it always pays to get religious when things get a little bit tough. This was no ordinary storm. I mean, some of these guys were seasoned sailors. And they were scared. They were bewildered. And maybe their minds rush back to Jonah. Perhaps they knew the story of Jonah when he was running away from God. And there was a big storm and they had to throw Jonah overboard after he had confessed that he had sinned and was running away from God, and then the storm stopped. And I wonder if at that point Peter may have suggested that confession is good for the soul, and if any of the disciples were running away from God or had sinned, now would be a good time to own up to it. And you can imagine probably Peter going, okay, John, what about you? What about you? You sinned? No, me and God are good. Me and God are good. Remember, I'm the one Jesus loves. Read John's Gospel, you'll understand that. And then he said, well, what about you, Philip? You're in the corner of the boat, you're going green. Have you sinned? And I'm just trying not to be sick. Matthew, are you still robbing people? Were you tax collecting? No, not me. I'm on the straight and narrow now. And well, is it you, Thomas? Is it you, Thomas? Well, I doubt it. Well, we kind of guessed you probably did doubt it, but... And then a very brave Mark says, well, Peter, what about you? You're the hothead of the group. You're the one always speaking out of turn. Maybe you're the problem. Not me, Brother Mark. I am squeaky clean. Anyway, throw me over if you like. I have a feeling I could walk on this stuff. And they all go, yeah, okay. Anyway, the storm's increasing in its severity. The waves are crashing over the boat. And really the question is raised, does he understand the severity of this situation? Does he not realize that we're going to drown if something doesn't happen soon? He asked us to cross the lake. The very least he could do is worry with us. Maybe he would even know who the sinner was. Who knows? And the disciples were bewildered at Jesus' ability to sleep through the storm. And I don't think they really knew what he would do even if he was awake or whether he could do anything. All they knew was that they couldn't make this journey on their own. And that whatever Jesus could or couldn't do, they needed him awake and they needed him with them. And they cry out to him. They say, Jesus, don't you care if we drown? Jesus just got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, and said, quiet, be still. And the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he says to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And now, they were not just afraid, they were terrified. And they were terrified of who this man was, of who Jesus was. And yet they were thankful all at the same time. They asked each other, who is this? Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And my guess is that the rest of the journey across the lake was relatively quiet. Maybe there was a little bit of head shaking going on, saying, was that really a storm? Or were we the ones dreaming? Were we the ones asleep? I knew he was special, but I didn't know he was that special. And then on the other side of the lake, there was another storm. Not necessarily straight after this journey, but whenever Jesus takes you somewhere, you always seem to hit a storm on the way. Well, they went across the lake again, and they found a storm of a demon-possessed man. Man, he was a storm. He was unstoppable. Anyway, that's another story. But this story about crossing the lake is a great story, but how does it apply to us? How does it apply to us? Let me just ask you a question now. This is not rhetorical. This is for you to answer, okay? Is there anyone here who has experienced some kind of storm in their lives? Anyone has experienced? Stick your hands up if you've experienced some kind of storm. Yeah? Okay. Here's some good news for those of you that didn't put your hands up. You will do. You will. I want to be the bringer of good tidings. You will experience storms in your life, without a doubt. No one has ever gone through life without experiencing some kind of a storm. So this story is relevant to all of us today. My objective today is not to really tell you that problems will come, but how to help you handle those problems when Jesus is in the boat with you. And to correct some misconceptions about the Christian life as well. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you're a Christian and have given your life to him, then it's of paramount importance that you ask Jesus for direction in your life. You need to ask him, where do I go? Where do you want me to go, Lord? What do you want me to do? And then it's hugely important to be obedient and do what he tells you to do. I always find that, do you ever find that if you get lost somewhere? You're in a strange town and sat-nav's not working or it's taking you somewhere wrong, you know, and you stop, you think, well, let's ask somebody. And you ask them, actually, people must hate asking me directions in Darlington. I haven't got a clue what any of the roads are called in Darlington. I even get lost sometimes when people say, which road do you live in, Phil? I go, I know it's off that Woodlands Road, but I can't remember which one it is quite. Because sometimes when you're familiar with things, you know, you don't always remember. But, you know, it's important that when we ask Jesus for instructions, you see, he does know the way. He knows all the answers, and it's important to ask him the right way to go. I trust you understand too that Jesus is not like a bolt on extra that you get for your car from Halfords, like a set of wheel trims or seat covers or something like that, or a furry dice. When you become a Christian, life stops being about you and starts becoming about him. See, the disciples used to be people who had their own lives. They had their own businesses. They did what they wanted, when they wanted, and how they wanted. When they became followers of Jesus, they did what he wanted them to do, when he wanted them to do it, and how he wanted them to do it. Do you know, that's hugely, hugely important to get those three things lined up in our Christian lives. What he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. See, some people say that Christianity is a crutch. They say, you know, it's just to help the weak people. Can I tell you, they couldn't be farther from the truth. Christianity is a new way of walking. It's not a crutch. It's a new way of walking. And you're walking in a different direction. It's Jesus-centered and not self-centered. There's also some misunderstanding that when you become a Christian, life takes on a whole sweet, rosy, no problem path, as long as you're listening to Jesus and doing the things he wants you to do. Can I say, why don't you talk to a few people from Africa or maybe over in the Middle East at the moment, a few Christians, and see if they would agree with you that as long as you're obeying Jesus, everything is fine. In our story this morning, the disciples had heard really clearly what Jesus said. They were under instructions, and Jesus told them where they needed to go. And it was completely the right thing to do. So far, they were spot on. They also took Jesus with them. Jesus was physically with them in the boat. They could see him. They could touch him. Can I say, Jesus is with us, those of us that love him, in the same way, by the power of his Holy Spirit. He is completely with us. He lives in us. His power is in us by God the Holy Spirit. If you've heard Jesus, you've listened, he's with you, and then you're on the right track. Then, when you're obedient, you do something, you take action. The disciples did all that, and they began to sail across the lake. Can I say, that may be where you are today. You think, well, you know what? I've heard Jesus speak, and I've been obedient, and I'm doing things the way he's called me. What could possibly go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? And in your head, you might be singing that Bob Marley song, which I won't repeat. I always like to leave people wanting more rather than overdo it. And you know, in one sense, it is true. You don't have to worry about a thing, because everything will be all right. At the end, it'll be okay. But it doesn't make us immune from the storms that come into our lives. Let me tell you about a storm that happened to a family in our church just a couple of weeks ago. They're an older couple, a retired couple, and they help in our furniture reuse scheme. They come and they show customers around the warehouse. And they were in one day, and their daughter came in. She was 41 years old. She came in to have coffee with them, as she did on occasions, and they were sitting having coffee together and joking and laughing. And she got up to go, and she went to a car, and I just drove in to our car park just after the ambulance arrived. Their daughter had gone to a car, sat in her car, and just collapsed over the steering wheel. When I got there, the guys from the church were trying to give her CPR. It's CPR, isn't it? Is that one? CPR. We had a doctor there as well who was trying to help. And so were her parents there watching her, watching this girl, their daughter, the one they loved, turn blue and basically die in front of them. And that's quite a storm, isn't it? Quite a storm. They were doing what God had told them to do. They were helping in the church. They loved God. They served God tirelessly. And suddenly the storm comes up, big storm. Their daughter never recovered. Her funeral was just this last Friday. You see, storms come. And just because storms come doesn't mean Jesus isn't around. See, sometimes we kid ourselves sometimes that actually when we become Christians, everything's going to just sail away. It doesn't. And when a storm comes, it doesn't mean Jesus isn't with us. You see, the disciples in our story, they had everything lined up. Everything was in place, and still the storm came. They even had Jesus in the boat, but he was asleep. He appeared not to care about their predicament. Let me say this, Jesus always cares about your circumstances, always cares about you. He is always with you. Sometimes it may feel like he's asleep, but he cares, and he's there. Let me just say this. Here's what we sometimes do on our life's journey. We do all the right things in finding out the right way to go with our lives. And we start on a journey, And then sometimes we don't bother to consult Jesus when we're on the journey. Jesus sets us going and we go, thank you, Lord, here I go. I'm on my journey. And it's like, well, God's got me on this journey. Can I just say this? You will never complete the journey God has for you because you can't make that journey on your own, even when Jesus has set you on the journey. You need him with you all the time. You need to be bringing him into your journey and into your life. He is the only one who can enable you to reach your destination. The disciples found that they were across the lake. Jesus had told them where to go. Jesus was with them. But you know what? They needed to talk to him. They needed to ask him to get to the other side. What would have happened if they hadn't woken Jesus? I don't know. We're not told. But things could have been very different. Jesus would have been all right. Wasn't his time to die? We know he could walk on water. He could do anything he wanted to. But I want you to notice that once the disciples called out to Jesus, their predicament changed significantly. See, we're never mature enough. We've never learned enough. We never have enough experience. We are never wise enough to make the journey on our own. Never. All through life, we must keep crying out to Jesus. See, when Jesus got involved with the disciples' problem with the storm, supernatural things happened. Things that we don't understand. Things we can't begin to comprehend. All you can then do is stand back speechless and worship the living God. Because he does some incredible things. This girl who died a couple of weeks ago in our church car park, her name was Claire. And I went to see her family several times between Claire dying and the funeral. And the second time I went, I was about to leave, so let me pray for you before I go. And Claire's mum, I prayed, and then Claire's mum prayed. You see, what they'd done in their storm is they pushed into God. You know, some of us, when trouble comes, we go, don't think God's with me. I think I'll run away from God. He doesn't love me anymore. See, I've seen people do that lots of times. But this couple, they pushed into God. And her prayer was, God, I really want to thank you for the time that we've had with Claire. And that was, for me, like, man, these people are mature Christians. How would I cope with that situation? See, what they found was something supernatural happened when they pushed into God. You see, when Jesus says he's the source of all comfort, he brings comfort that we don't understand. That's what they found. They found a comfort. You know, and I'm there, I'm just gobsmacked at their appreciation and their love of God. Because in their storm, they reached out to God. Now, we were all praying when this girl was laying on the ground and, you know, CPR was going on. We were praying that she'd recover. That's what we wanted. And my word, we did want that. We wanted to see her come back to life. But she didn't. But did it mean Jesus wasn't there? Did it mean God had abandoned them? No. But Jesus came to them in a different way and gave them a comfort and a peace that nothing else could. See, our journey is always for a purpose. God has you on your life's journey, and it's for purpose. It's not just for the view, it's for purpose. You see, the disciples got through that physical storm. And actually, in the very next chapter of Mark, there is this spiritual storm that comes up. Now, whether it's straight after this journey across, we don't know. I would say probably not, because they went across in the evening. But this spiritual storm they met, there was a demon-possessed man who spent his time naked, screaming among the tombstones. No one could reason with him or shackle him. He even broke the chains he was bound with. But he meets Jesus, and another violent storm is stopped. See, I want to say this. Jesus is in the business of calming violent storms. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, Jesus likes to calm storms. I love it when the people of the town come and see this man who had been troubling them for years. They come and they saw him clothed and sitting in his right mind. Suddenly, the storm had calmed. And Jesus is in the business of calming storms. Let me ask you some questions. We'll make some suggestions. You know, you may be in the eye of a storm right now. Actually, you know, we've heard some testimonies this morning. Russell's in the eye of a storm. And Russell, I want to say God's with you in that. God is with you in that. And that's very easy for me to stand up here and say that. But actually, I believe God is with you in that. And then we heard about the way that God met Dave's predicament out of work. You know, there's a storm brewing. There's no work. There's no money. Do you know, it causes a big storm. But God came and calmed that storm. See, God wants to do that in very real ways with us. If you're in a storm at the moment, it doesn't mean that Jesus isn't with you. Sometimes we make big leaps in our belief. And we say, well, if there's all this trouble going on, does it mean we're going the wrong way? Not necessarily. Not necessarily. It doesn't mean that you're automatically out of God's will because you're experiencing trouble. Maybe God is trying to teach you that you can't make this journey on your own. Maybe God is trying to draw you closer to him and say, you ain't going to make this. You're not going to make this on your own. You need to come closer to me. You need to push in to me. See, it's time you cried out to Jesus. Time you cried out to Jesus. You see, the disciples had to come to the end of themselves. They were seasoned sailors, some of them. They thought, well, man, we should be able to get through this. But the storm was so severe, they couldn't get through it. And they needed to cry out to Jesus, Jesus, help us, save us, Jesus. Sometimes Jesus takes us to those points where we have to just cry out to him, saying, Jesus, save us. Jesus, help us. Don't you care what's going on, Lord? Come and save us. Come and help us. Maybe you feel like he's sleeping in your boat. If you feel like that, do you know what Jesus loves is you to shout and wake him up. Cry out to him. Wake him up. You need to call out this morning, Jesus, save me. And perhaps this morning you don't even know Jesus in a personal way. You've never made a commitment to follow him. You don't know what it means to have Jesus in your life. You don't know what it is to be forgiven. You don't know what it is to walk with him. And you can know that this morning. You can come to know Jesus this morning. You can be forgiven. You can have your life transformed. But I hope I want to encourage you this morning. Feels a little bit heavy, doesn't it? But actually, I want to encourage you. If you're going through a storm, cry out to Jesus. He'll be with you, just like he was for the family in our church, just like he will be for all of us that go through storms. We all go through storms in life, but Jesus is there for us. The disciples thought they got it all sorted. They weren't going to worry it was going to be a great little sail across the lake. But Jesus was trying to teach them something. Maybe Jesus is trying to teach you something, trying to teach me something. He's always trying to teach me something because I need to be taught lots of things. But hold on to Jesus. Cry out to him. He's with you in the boat. He's not abandoned you. He's with you. And he wants to come and help you. Amen.